Greetings to you in the name of Jesus this evening. I apologize for being late. I thought we had left plenty of time, but apparently I didn't drive as fast as the GPS thought I was going to, or the GPS was wrong. Modern technology is a marvel, but sometimes it's not the answer. Greet you in the name of Jesus this evening, the only one that we can depend on to always be on time. Jesus is never late when we have a need. And I'm thankful tonight that we can trust in that promise and that we can rest in that assurance as we go through this series of meetings this weekend. As we look at the message this evening, Living with Purpose, I had to think that, you know, there's a lot of people in the world today who have a purpose in their life. I'm sure that those individuals who are campaigning to become the next president of the United States have a purpose in their life. They are purpose-driven. They are goal-oriented. The individuals who have made a name for themselves in the financial world, they have a purpose in life. They're living with a purpose. So what are we looking at tonight? I believe, brothers and sisters, that the purpose that our lives should be centered around is a purpose that is not financially driven, is not praise and glory driven, but it's driven by eternity. You and I tonight, the purpose for our lives is not only salvation for ourselves and experiencing, being able to have the assurance of salvation and the assurance of a heavenly home, but the purpose in our life should be to make sure that we get that news out to as many people as we can. And I believe tonight, if that is your purpose, that is the life that you're living tonight, you are experiencing more fulfillment than any of those others I mentioned before. And why can I say that? Because tonight, brothers and sisters, I know that when we have a purpose-filled life, and that purpose is to spread the word of God and to be obedient to the word of God, first of all ourselves, and to be spreading the word of God, we have the peace in our hearts that those individuals will never find unless they come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. The purpose in our lives tonight and the purpose that we want to look at from different angles tonight is the purpose of serving God. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. A few verses here I'd like to read. And I'm not going to necessarily take my thoughts completely from this, but I'm going to read this as somewhat of an introduction and maybe refer back to it from time to time throughout the message. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. If there's a theme for my message tonight, it would be these verses. First of all, in verse 14, it says, "But continue thou." I don't know most of you here tonight, but I believe that most of us, if not all of us, have been raised knowing the Word of God. We know the Bible. We know what the Word of God says. We went to Sunday school. We went to church. Some of us went to Christian day schools. We had parents that taught us the Word of God. We may even have memorized passages of Scripture. But you know, knowing is not enough. You need to do more than just know. Verse 14 says, "But continue." Are we continuing? Are we continuing to do? "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of." And then he talks about, in verse 15, about knowing the Scriptures from a child. But what is that Scripture supposed to do to us? Is a head knowledge enough? Is a head knowledge enough to have a purpose in our lives? Is a head knowledge of the financial institutions of the world today enough to get a person ahead? They can read all the books and study all the things about Wall Street, and I don't know that much about it. I don't know what all they study to learn about financial things. But if they have a purpose of getting ahead and doing something and getting something done, they're going to go out there and they're going to do. And brothers and sisters, that holds true for us today. If we profess to have a purpose in our lives of serving Jesus Christ, it takes more than just knowing the Scriptures. It takes obedience. It takes the doing. And that's where the purpose comes in. The purpose will drive us to accomplish something, to do something. Verse 17 says, let's go back into verse 16. "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." Why? "That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." We like to sometimes shy away from the works. You know, it's not works. We're not saved by works. We know we do and we do and we do, but it doesn't mean anything. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you tonight that if you're looking at works as something as that is just a sideline thing, I'm afraid we're on the wrong track. Because if we have a purpose in our lives, if we have a purpose in our life of serving God, we are going to do something. We're going to be driven to do something. We're going to be required to do something. We can't just sit back with the knowledge in our head and expect that to suffice. Purpose. What is purpose? Purpose is a desire, an aim, a goal that we have. We want to take a look at that tonight. There's many examples throughout the Bible of individuals who did not have a real purpose in their lives. We could take a look at many different illustrations that are given in the Word of God of individuals that seemingly had the knowledge, but they didn't move on it. They were not purpose driven. Matthew 12 and verse 30, Jesus says, "He that is not with me is against me." We heard tonight about the vine and the branches, and I believe that ties in very well with the thought that we're looking at tonight. You know, the purpose for God to have the branches in the vine is to bear fruit. And pardon me if I'm taking it out of context, but I don't believe I am. The fruit is the works that God is looking for in our lives. If God would be here tonight and there would be a vine around the room here with lots of branches, and it would look ever so beautiful. Leaves are green. There's nothing distracting. There's no dead leaves on it. There's no shriveled leaves on it. There's no insects on there eating the leaves away. Everything looks beautiful and green. Is that enough? Suppose God would walk over there and would find a branch with my name on it and would pull back the leaves looking for fruit. And there's nothing there. There's no works to substantiate my profession. What happens to the branch that doesn't bear fruit? Gets cut off. I do believe tonight, brothers and sisters, that when we have a purpose, a life with a purpose, that there's going to be some action. Have you ever heard somebody say, "Well, that individual has no purpose in life"? They're referring to an individual that maybe is depressed. Maybe they're lazy, but they're not getting anything accomplished. They're just sitting back and they're not doing anything. Tonight, I believe the reason for a life with purpose is that we are doing something. Those people that are on the campaign trail, they're busy. They're having meetings. They're proclaiming they're good. And proclaiming the other person's bad, and I shouldn't get into politics but anyway, using that as an illustration. They have a purpose and they're doing something about it. Brothers and sisters, tonight the question comes to us. People looking in on us, looking in on our lives, looking in on our daily lives, what are they saying is our purpose? It might be easier to find the answer if we would ask our neighbors than if we look at ourselves and say, "Well, this is my purpose. This is what I'm driving for." We need to, and you might not agree with me on this, but we need to be more than just church-going people. The community looking in on us will see us coming in these church doors and going back out. That's fine. But what do they see in the rest of our lives? That is what's going to tell them what our purpose is. That is going to reveal to them what our purpose is. And if we're honest, it's going to reveal to us what our purpose is as well. We cannot, we may not, we dare not think that going to church dressing right. Is enough. The purpose for our lives is to serve Jesus Christ. And the commands of Jesus Christ are first of all to follow me, and second of all, he says, go. And we don't have to go across the ocean. We don't have to go across country boundaries. We don't even have to go across state lines or county lines. Sometimes all we have to do is go across a property line. But brothers and sisters, we can't go until we followed. It is needful for us to follow before we can go. When Jesus said, follow me, there were many times when individuals turned back. And there was one time I remember reading, I think it's in John, don't know the chapter right now, it just comes to my mind now, about Jesus when he was talking to those who believed in him. And he started talking about the bread of life and how he is the bread of life and how you must partake of him. And he says, my flesh is meat indeed and my blood is drink indeed. And that was a hard saying. And it says, from that time, many of his disciples, many of his followers went back and walked no more with him. And the heart of Jesus comes out when he looks on the 12 and he says, will you also go away? Jesus wants us to follow him, and it grieves his heart when some go back. But his desire is that we follow him, even though the sayings might be hard. The purpose in our life is to follow the Lord Jesus Christ and be faithful to him. We can have other purposes in our lives that take precedence at times. But brothers and sisters, the most important purpose that we can have in our lives is to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And if we fulfill that purpose, then not only will we be a follower, but we will be bearing fruit and we will be going. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, looking at a few verses here. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, some very familiar verses. We look at these verses sometimes when we talk about light and darkness and truth and untruth and so forth, but I want to look at them in a little bit of a different angle tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 16. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Verse 1 of chapter 7. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Do you have a purpose in your life tonight? Is your purpose to separate yourself from the world, to come out from among them? Is your purpose tonight to be named among the saints of God? Is your purpose tonight to be a testimony in front of the world? Is your purpose tonight to have the world say, he is a true Christian? If our purpose tonight is to follow God, if our purpose tonight is to portray the Christian life to those around us, then we're not going to be ashamed to do the things that God requires of us. And we're not going to be ashamed to stand out among other people. And we're not going to be ashamed to admit that we don't go to the same excessive riot as they do. And we're not going to be ashamed to admit that we don't believe in divorce and remarriage, and we're going to speak out about it. If we have a purpose in our life of bringing Jesus Christ to the world, we're not going to be ashamed of what the Word of God says. We're going to speak out. What happens when the house next door gets sold and another couple moves in? And you become friends with them and get to know them. And after a while, the word comes out that they are a divorced and remarried couple. What happens to your purpose in life? Is your purpose still as strong as it was before? Are you still willing to speak up? Are you still willing to risk the friendship that you have built? Is your purpose to serve Jesus Christ greater than your purpose or your desire to stay on good terms with your neighbor? Brothers and sisters, tonight, when the Bible says, come out from among them and be ye separate, that means that not only that we don't do the things that the world does because we have a different master and we follow a different set of rules, but it also means that we're willing to give a testimony of to why we're separate. In the past, our forefathers had to die for their faith. In the past, in the more recent past, in this country, our forefathers had to be imprisoned because they weren't willing to be engaged in warfare. You and I sitting here in this auditorium tonight have it easy. We have it easy. And complacency can set in because of the ease. We can blend into society, and we can go about our daily work, and we can kind of just stay under the radar, so to speak. But brothers and sisters, I wonder sometimes if the reason, and I'm not saying that we're out there stumping around trying to get somebody to persecute us, but I'm wondering if the reason why we're not facing more persecution is because we're not willing to speak out. What about the gay marriages? What about divorce and remarriage? What about the immorality that is accepted in the world today? What about the shady deals that somebody is telling you about and with a grin on their face and saying, I pulled the wool over that fellow's eyes. Sad to say, maybe you've even heard it come from a Christian brother. Are we going to speak out? Are we going to show the purpose of our lives? Is our life actually purpose-driven? If it is, what is the purpose that's driving it? Do our actions, do our words portray what that purpose is? Are we willing? Are we ready to speak up for the name of Jesus Christ? Are we willing to take a stand? God says, you come out from among them and be separate. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. What better reward can one have than to be a son or a daughter of God? Brothers and sisters, tonight, I said at the beginning that the difference in our purpose is because it's an eternal purpose. And I'm afraid sometimes in this busy world we lose sight of that. We lose sight of eternity. We lose sight of the two destinies. And we lose sight of that great gulf that is fixed between the two. What is your purpose tonight? Is your purpose tonight to reach heaven? Is your purpose tonight to be pleasing to God so that when you stand before Him and the books are open and you hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant"? I do believe that for an individual that has a purpose in their lives, there could be no greater reward than to hear those words. Yes, there's going to be one individual that is going to drive through and to become the next president of the United States. But that reward is far inferior to the reward of being ushered into heaven with the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." What is the purpose in your life tonight? A few verses in closing. 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 16. "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end." Excuse me. Let me start over here. "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust of your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." God here is calling us to a holy life. And brothers and sisters, tonight, our purpose, our goal, our aim, our desire may not be anything less. I do believe tonight that when God calls us to a holy life, He is going to give us the power to live that holy life. God is not calling us to something that is impossible. But I also realize that there's very few of us, that are continually following the Spirit of God. And we do fall. We do sin. We do come short of what God is calling us for. But I do believe that as we gird up the loins of our minds, as we put forth effort, as we put forth meaning into our lives, and we have a purpose in our lives, that we're going to strive for the goal. And we might in our minds become sidetracked sometimes, and that's why he says, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober. And I don't believe that means going around with a long face all day long and not ever cracking a smile or being joyful. But I believe what that means is not being influenced by the wrong thing. You know, when we look at somebody that's drunk, we say he's not very sober. We look at somebody that's influenced by drugs, and I've heard somebody refer to them as they're not in their right mind. Well, maybe they're not. Brothers and sisters, tonight, we need to be careful that we do not let other things influence our mind and our thinking to the point where we are no longer sober, where we are no longer focused on the Word of God, where we are no longer focused on what this book says, but our focus is drawn away, and we begin to stagger around trying to find our way in something that has no purpose. Tonight, brothers and sisters, I do believe that as we are sober and we're obedient, as it says in verse 14, that we will be a holy individual, not by our own merits, not because of what we do, but because of the power of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit in our lives. And when we have a purpose in our lives to be that way, it will have us desiring to find that way. We're going to be looking for that way. We're going to be looking. We're going to be looking into the Scripture. We're going to be studying the Scripture, and we're going to be allowing that to direct our lives. I said at the beginning, knowing the Word of God is not enough. And I'd like to reaffirm that again in closing, that we need to more than know the Word of God. If we have a profession of a Christ-driven purpose in our lives, then we need to be showing forth the works that prove it. I ask again, what is the purpose in your life? What is taking precedence in your life? What is driving you to do the things that you do? Only you can answer that question to God. But keep in mind that you will have to answer that question sometime. Let's kneel for prayer.